Reading of God's Holy Word this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter. I invite you to turn there in your own Bible or in the pew Bible that's in front of you. If you're using that pew Bible, it's on page 861. And we've just been in the last couple of weeks moving forward in a look at some points in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John where Jesus speaks of something that he most definitely will do. And we have one of those statements before us, of course, in this section of the Gospel according to Luke. So I encourage you to follow along, give your full attention to God's Word. I'll read verses 12 through 16, Luke chapter 5. While he, that is Jesus, was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed because of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. May the Holy Spirit give us wisdom and give us insight. Imagine a man who has served a lengthy prison sentence for multiple counts of fraud. Fortunately, you don't have to try very hard, do you? We can think of some of the recent years and notorious cases of that kind of thing. Imagine a man who has spent years and years in prison. His sentence is up. He's released from prison. And he comes back to his hometown and he starts applying for jobs. And you're a local business owner and this man has applied for a job in your business. In fact, the position he wants is an open accountant position. He wants to handle your money for you. He wants to keep track of it for you. What are you going to do? Would anyone believe him? Would you trust him? Would you take seriously anything that he says about himself, about being trustworthy with your money? Well, let's imagine then something that connects us with this text. Let's imagine somebody in the first century who had an infectious disease, terrible disease, for years. He has been, in essence, in prison. He's been unable to live at home. For years, his family, they have been able to provide him with things. They could bring food to him, but they would have to bring it out to a set place outside the city, set the food there, and then quickly move away at a distance before their relative can come and collect the food or the items of clothing. He's always alone, or the people he's with are people who are in the same sad, sorry, sick state that he's in. Smelly, unwashed, unkempt. And then one day, he shows up in the middle of town, and he says, "I've met a traveling preacher who's made me well." Who would believe such a man? That's the story that we have. A couple of things very simply in this story. I want us to see in this story, a sick and desperate man. We're going to see a merciful, touching, powerful Savior. And we're also going to see learn about a big, wonderful word. I won't tell you the word yet. First, I want us to think about this man full of leprosy that Luke tells us about. He's a sick and desperate man. Leviticus 13 lays out some of the rules that applied to people who were sick and the way that this man was sick. A leper in Israel had to wear torn clothes. He had to keep his head uncovered. He had to put a covering over his mouth. And if anybody was in earshot of him that he could see, he had to call out, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean, that's a warning, stay away from me." Leviticus 13 goes on to say, "He shall dwell alone, his dwelling shall be outside the camp." leprosy that's described here, it's kind of a broad term, covers a number of infectious skin diseases. But what particularly is being described here is something that today doctors would call Hansen's disease. And it was something you couldn't hide if you had it. It was probably the most feared disease of its day. And it's a bacterial skin disease that attacks the nerves, the nerve endings. The disease ends up being something of kind of a permanent anesthetic. It destroys nerve endings even to the point that you could, in an advanced case, you could step on a nail and not feel it go through your foot. You could put your hand in scalding hot water and you wouldn't know that you had put it in scalding hot water. Rat could gnaw on your feet while you were asleep. You wouldn't have any idea what was going on. It's like some of your nerves endings are switched off and you end up with sores and infections of all kinds. And in the advanced cases, you probably know this, lepers can even lose appendages, can lose fingers, toes. And a man full of leprosy, as Luke describes it, is a man in a pretty advanced case, a mass of ulcers and sores from his head down to his feet, and he would smell bad. You have, no self-esteem at all. That goes without saying. And it's interesting, in Isaiah chapter 1, the prophet uses leprosy as an image to teach us something about ourselves as sinners. Isaiah wrote in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, "Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there's no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil." He was not making a medical diagnosis when he said that. He was making a spiritual diagnosis. He's saying, hey, look in this medical journal I've just described. Those symptoms apply to you. That is you. Sin has made you spiritually leprous. It's touched your eyes so that you're blind to the glory of God. It's touched your ears so that you are deaf to the pleading of God's word. Your mouth, it's affected that. It's put slander and gossip and curses in your mouth. It's perverted your mind and twisted your imagination and turned your affections upside down to where you love what is base and degrading and destructive. In fact, even as sinners, our very bodies are affected by this, because one day we're all going to either contract a disease which we cannot be cured or encounter some kind of physical force that's going to be too great for our bodies to handle, and we're all going to die. Saying you and I are lepers spiritually because of sin. You came to church to be comforted and uplifted, and I just told you you were a leper. But back to this sick and desperate leper, because I tell you that to get you to identify with him maybe a little more than you would. Luke shows us how desperate this man was, because did you notice what he says? He came up to Jesus. He did something lepers did not do. Lepers kept their distance. Lepers didn't come into the city. In fact, it says Jesus was in one of the cities. This leper decides, I know what the law says, but I'm going to make a break for it. This is the only chance I've got. I'm going in the city. I'm going to find this man Jesus, and I'm going to beg him to help me. So he's taking risks. He's taking risks of even more rejection, probably of death. And it says that he fell on his face and he begged Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." See, he knows he needs Jesus. He knows Jesus has the power to heal him. But do you notice he doesn't directly ask Jesus? You could even say he worships Jesus before he even really expects anything. "Lord, if you're willing, I know you can make me clean. If you want to make me clean, I'll be clean. I know that." Now that's faith, isn't it? Some of you don't know anything about that kind of desperation. You're you're so self-sufficient that you don't have any immediately visible crisis, nothing pressing. You may pray on occasion as a need arises or as custom or habit, but some of you understand. Some of you get that. Some of you pray desperately because you know how much you need that strength that is made perfect in weakness. We should take a lesson from that leper who fell down and he cried out, "I worship you, Lord. I know you can help me. You can do whatever you want because I know how good you are. I know if you're willing, you can change me. You can do something gracious, something good and powerful in my life." But this leper is such an example of faith in his desperation because he worships even before Jesus heals him. Some of us might come up to Jesus and say, "I tell you what, you heal me, I'll worship you. Deal? All right, let's strike a deal. I even have it written out. You heal me, I'll worship you." But that's not his stand at all, is it? It's quite the opposite. He says, "Whether or not you heal me, I acknowledge who you really are. Your greatness, your worthiness, your power." Have you ever been that serious with God? You ever realize that God's under no obligation to help you? You ever realize, I will be dirty, I will be filthy unless you wash me, O Lord. I will be guilty unless you forgive me, O God. A sick and desperate man has a lot to teach us about ourselves, doesn't he? We also see a forgiving, healing Savior, a cleansing, compassionate Savior. In hearing that, Jesus does something quite extraordinary. He reaches out and he touches the leper. That's amazing. How long do you think it had been since someone had touched that man? He truly was untouchable. Had it been years? Maybe even a decade or more since somebody put their hand on his back, on his shoulder, on his arm. He was used to people running away from him as he cried out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." He was not used to people walking toward him, people engaging him, people speaking to him. In fact, the greatest fear that anybody in that city would have been to touch somebody like him. And what does Jesus do? It's an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing. He touches the man. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. And he says, "I will be clean." You know, this is Jesus. This is God in human flesh. This is the almighty, pure, perfect God who dwells in inapproachable light. This is God, the eternal Son in human flesh, who could simply pass by and say, "Healed, there you go." But he does something extra. This leper is just hoping for a word from Jesus. And what he gets, he feels a hand on him. Friends, this has got to be one of the reasons that we love Jesus so much. Because this is the kind of thing that he does. He touches those who are untouchable. He touches the unclean. He's being simply affectionate and blessing this man and encouraging this man and publicly dignifying this man. It's an amazing thing. I think back to something that happened 25 years ago this year. No, next year. It was 1987. And there was an AP photograph that appeared in newspapers all over the world that really stunned a lot of people at the time. Maybe we don't think about it as such an astounding thing, but it was of an international celebrity, Princess Diana, who had two philanthropic causes that she devoted much of her life towards. One was the eradication of landmines, and the other was AIDS victims, AIDS research. And this photo that appeared in the newspapers in 1987 was a photo of her in a medical ward at a hospital in Africa. And she became really the first public person, public personality to be photographed embracing, touching an AIDS victim. And actually, when it appeared, there was some scandal to it. People were shocked. There was still so much that was unknown about the disease. There was so much fear that, you know, if you got too close to these people, if you touched these victims, you might get the disease. And yet, really, in that one instant, in that photograph that was transmitted around the world, it began to change people's hearts. There was something powerful in that touch. And that's only a little piece of what is going on in Luke chapter 5. Because what Jesus did there was not only seen to be a health risk that he was taking, but it was also, let's call it, a spiritual risk. It was a spiritual risk in the sense that doing that, touching a leper, would make somebody automatically unclean. If you touch a leper, you're unclean. First century reader reading this would think, wait, he stretched out his hand, wait, and he did what? He touched him. No, you don't do that. It's like watching the horror movie and the person's going to the door. The person in the horror movie always has to go to the door, even though everybody's sitting in the theater watching the movie goes, don't open the door. You don't want to know what's in there. Go. There are plenty of other places you can go. Don't go there. Jesus goes there and he touches the man. And guess what? Jesus touches the man, and instead of Jesus becoming unclean, what happens? The man becomes clean. What's Luke telling us? He's telling us and he's showing us that Jesus is not some ordinary prophet. He's not a priest. A priest could only declare somebody is clean or is not clean. That was the job of a priest. The high priest would have become instantly unclean by reaching down and touching this man. It didn't matter who you were, how holy you were, how many times you had prayed, how many of the commandments you had kept. You touch a leper, you're unclean. Jesus touches a leper, he's not unclean. In fact, it works the opposite way. He touches and he cleanses. He can make this man clean. He can heal. He can change people. He can forgive sin. We get to be the body of Christ and act in the same kind of way. We get to reach out and touch broken, hurting, desperate, needy people with the love of Jesus. And I've just been amazed at this image. It's just been in my mind all week. I couldn't wait to get up here and put it out in front of you. Jesus says, I will be clean. He touches the man. And immediately, Luke says, the leprosy left him. He was healed. I don't know if he got skin tissue back that he had lost. I don't know how that worked. But it says immediately he was healed, and even to the point where Jesus could say, now you need to go to the priest. As Leviticus 14 directs you, go to the priest, show yourself to him so that you can be restored. As a proof to them. That Leviticus 14 is lays out that kind of requirement. All this is foreshadowing the work that Jesus was going to do for us. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the spotless Lamb, the Lamb who was slain. But what this man was being directed to do by Jesus was to go to the local priest. He had to present himself. The priest would verify the healing, offer a sacrifice. The man would be directed to bathe, to wash his clothes. In fact, he would have to shave all the hair off his body, eyebrows, everything. And after another sacrifice of atonement, a sacrifice of a lamb, he would be declared clean. He would be joyfully reunited with his family. One of the things the priest would do, though, is take the blood of that lamb that had been sacrificed, and he would reach out and he would touch that man. He would put some of the blood on the man's ear and on his thumb, on his big toe, on his right hand, on his right foot. And that ritual was a way of symbolizing God's dealt with you. God has cleansed you. God's dealt with your sin. You belong to God now. Serve Him. Walk in His ways. Every conversation that you're in, everything that you touch, everywhere that you go is affected by the fact that you've been cleansed by God. That's how life is supposed to work. Jesus shed His blood to forgive us and cleanse us. And now that we belong to Him, we should listen to Him and serve Him and follow Him. That's what our forgiving, healing Savior does for us. And we have, theologically, we have the third thing, the big, wonderful word. Word we don't use in our daily conversations, but it's a good word. The word is expiation. E-X-P-I-A-T-I-O-N. Expiation. I get to the second round of the spelling bee. Expiation. What it means simply is this, boys and girls. If you don't remember expiation, we'll let it pass. But you need to remember this. It means this. Jesus makes you clean. That's what it means. Expiation means Jesus makes you clean. I'm not talking about the dirt on your hands. I'm not talking about, you know, when your mom bends down and sniffs your hair and says, okay, it's time for you to get in the shower. This is the filth that is within, the guilt, the sin. So God is using this physical healing to teach us a spiritual truth that we ought to pay attention to. Remember I said earlier, sin makes you unclean like a leper? It's a deep condition. It's incurable. It makes you insensitive. It makes you separated from God. It makes you separated from other people. Ultimately, it will lead to your death. God says, yes, by nature, you're all sinners. And on top of that, you've all just gone out and chosen to be sinners as well. You've enjoyed yourself in doing it. And because of our sin, we're in the same position as the leper. Maybe you're not convinced. I hope you're not sitting there right now saying, well, I'm not as bad off as that. I'm not as disgusting as that. You're selling me short. You're overstating the matter. Look, if you're saying that, I've got to tell you, it's only because you've been living in a big leper colony for so long that you don't even recognize that you're a leper anymore. Probably the other lepers living in the leper colony said, hey, you look pretty good. I didn't even notice the fact that your ear fell off yesterday. You know, if you lived in a leper colony, everybody would look pretty much okay because they look pretty much like you. God comes to earth as Jesus Christ, and it's seeing sin. And seeing our sin, Jesus has the same kind of disgust and repulsion that any of us would have had if we'd seen that leper. When Jesus looks at sin, it's as disgusting to Him as leprosy would be to any of us. What does He do? He doesn't say, you're too close. There should be a restraining order here between you and me. He reaches out His hand and He touches. Some of you hear this and you think the other thing you say, I do get it, preacher. I'm unclean. You don't know all that I've done, but I've done some pretty dirty stuff and I'm unclean. Some of you have been greatly sinned against and you feel unclean. The truth of expiation is this, is that Jesus touches us. Jesus forgives us. He cleanses us. If you ask, Lord, if you will, I know you can make me clean. The answer you get back is, I will be clean. That's expiation. Jesus makes us clean. In Christ you are clean. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. In Christ, you're no longer a whatever it is that you were that brought you to Jesus in the first place. You're cleansed. And you're commissioned just the way that leper would have been when he went to go see the priest and the blood put on his ear and the blood put on his thumb and the blood applied to his big toe. Reminded that he has a new life now. A life that's marked and identified by what God had done for him. The cleansing. From now on, I listen to Him. I serve Him. I walk with Him. I'm not unclean anymore. I have a new identity. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5. The old has passed away and new things have come. He restores our dignity. He enables us to walk in newness of life. Maybe if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, maybe you don't really think of Christianity in those terms. You think about what we do here as we're in the business of making people feel guilty and unclean. Think of all the bad things you've done. Well, you've done those things, and you've done some things you don't even remember, and you're even worse off than that. But we remind you of those things, and then we remind you of who Jesus is and all the things that He has done right, all that He is for us. We remind you of His love and His mercy, His forgiveness, His cleansing, so that you can come to Him and be happy and be forgiven and live a new life. It doesn't end with guilt. It ends with joy. Think of the celebration that this man, that this leper was about to enjoy. He gets to have a family reunion. Some of you think, well, that's no joy to me. But no, think about it. He's not been able to hug. If he was married, he hasn't been able to see his wife in years. If he had children, he couldn't hug them for years. Friends pretend like they don't even know him, but it's a new day. There's a party. There's a celebration going on. Amazing that Jesus would do that, would make him a clean person. What an amazing thing that Jesus would make any of us clean people. But that's exactly what he does. Someone wrote this week. Nothing is more difficult for us to get our minds around than the unconditional grace of God. It offends our deepest sensibilities. We're actually conditioned against unconditionality. We're told in 1,000 different ways that accomplishment precedes acceptance and achievement precedes approval. If you achieve, you receive. You get meaning, respect, security, love, so on. But grace is love that seeks you out when you have nothing to give in return. Grace is love coming at you that has nothing to do with you. Grace is being loved when you are unlovable. Only in the gospel of Christ does love precede loveliness. Everywhere else, loveliness precedes love. Remember that. You're invited to the Lord's table. You're invited not because you were such a wonderful guest, because there's an amazingly gracious host, one who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Oh, great Father, let it settle deeply within us that Your grace is so unbalanced, it's so uncontrollable, unpredictable, undomesticated, that it unsettles everything. It overflows the banks. And it flows even to people such as we are. May these few minutes we spend in the remainder of the service be an even greater reminder of how great Your grace and Your cleansing power is for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.